Welcome back to another edition of the Three Good Things podcast. And, you know, I'm just going to stop this because I'm 67 episodes in. Today is a pretty sad day. I'll get into maybe a good thing, which is the first thing to talk about. But before I just jump into things, this is not going to be the best podcast episode. If you want to go listen to a much better episode, go listen to my interview with Nick Sharma, who knows tons of stuff about DTC that I recorded on Clubhouse, or go listen to my episode on Indian matchmaking, or just listen to like any other episode if you really want like high quality, great conversation, interesting things to listen to, because this one's not going to be the best, and I'll explain why in a second. But if you're new here, just an FYI that you're in for a little bit of a downer of a podcast episode. But I told myself I was going to do this every day, so here I am with volume 67. Let's just get into it. Welcome to the Three Good Things podcast, where I talk about three good things. First, I guess, good thing is the NBA. So, at the time of this recording, it's 9 p.m. PST. All the games for the day are done. My Phoenix Suns, my hometown Phoenix Suns, are officially out of the playoffs. They won all their games in the bubble. They went undefeated, 8-0. No other team went undefeated, but they remain a half game back behind the Blazers and the stupid Memphis Grizzlies, of all teams, who lost more games in the bubble than they won before their prior record and whatever are now in the play-in. So for those of you that don't follow the NBA, they decided to play 8 games in the bubble in Orlando, and all the teams would play 8 games, and they would take the previous record of those teams into account. So it would just add eight games to whatever the previous record was. So the Suns got very, very close, as I feel like part of being a Suns fan, and even maybe even an Arizona sports fan, is every year you will always get tons of hope. You will get hope that this is our year, that this is the time when we might reach the mountaintop, and every time it's shattered in the cruelest way possible. Years ago, if you follow the NBA, there was the game 6 of Suns versus Spurs. There was the whole body check issue, where Nash got body checked, but then Stoudemire and Boris Diaw walked off the bench and got suspended for coming to their teammates' aid. Like, just stupid stuff happens to the Suns. There's another time when freaking Ron Artest had a putback in like the last second. Many buzzer beaters against Kobe. Just the Suns and Spurs rivalry over. I could go on and on. Basically, the playoffs are almost set. They're having a play-in now, where the 9-seed Memphis Grizzlies are playing the Portland Trailblazers for the rights to play the Lakers, who are the number 1 seed in the Western Conference. I think I'm done talking about it because I'm just really sad that the Suns always kind of... Let me say this. I'm very proud that the Suns got this far. Going 8-0 is not something that is to be scoffed at. No other team did that. We played great teams. We played playoff caliber teams like the Clippers, who we won against with an amazing buzzer beater by Booker. Great team defense. Against every team, we played our hearts out and we won. And every team was good. Every team was highly competitive and they weren't just resting everybody. We definitely had to earn all the W's that we got, and we did. So now that we have a core, we have a solid bench to build around, now it's taking that to training camp for the summer and coming back next season better. And at the end of the day, I think the Suns put themselves in this situation, right? Even if they went 8-0, now they had to rely on the other teams losing. And at some level, it's very sad that things have to kind of end this way for the regular season. But the solace is next year, everyone starts 0-0. So if you don't put yourself in this situation where you are 6, 7, 8, 9 games behind, and even if the restart didn't happen, I don't know what would have happened. But now we know, you know, the onus is on us. We shouldn't have lost that many games prior to the restart of the NBA season. And going into this next season, we have momentum. We have a solid core. We have a solid team. We have a solid 1-2 punch in Booker and Ayton, and a point guard who is absolutely amazing as a floor general, and Ricky Rubio, a bench of Cameron Payne, Javon Carter, Dario Saric. This whole podcast might be the Suns, and they're all coming back next year. Kelly Oubre will probably be back as well to supplement our third. And I can't not close out the Suns by mentioning the defensive goat of the bubble, Mikal Bridges, who locked down big name after big name after big name on every team, and just made it look like those defensive assignments were easy. And at the end of the day, they're not. It's really hard to stop great players like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Luka Doncic, and on and on and on. And all these players that he stopped when they were playing the Suns or minimized their impact entirely. TJ Warren's another one. They're all going to the playoffs. All those teams are going to the playoffs. But when they played the Suns, when those all-stars, those great players were defended by Mikal Bridges and the Suns team defense, they lost in the bubble. Anyway, about 7 minutes onto the Suns. All in all, very proud of the team for this bubble restart. I don't think anyone ever thought that we would go undefeated. We kind of had an inkling that maybe we had to win more than a couple games than the other teams, but going undefeated is great. Put the league on notice, and let's just carry this to next season. Our second good thing of the day is, actually Epic Games, basically doing an all-out war and standing up to Google and Apple. So if you don't know, Epic Games are the creators of Fortnite. If you haven't heard of Fortnite, just Google it. It's a huge game that's completely cross-platform. Prior to today, you could download the game on the Google Play Store, Apple App Store. You can play it on basically any console. You can play it on mobile by downloading it from the app stores. And today, Epic is offering 20% discounts to players to buy directly in the app. Why does this matter? Well, because Apple famously has a 30% cut that they take on purchases from the App Store. And so Epic essentially violates their terms by offering their own purchasing model within the app that goes directly to Epic Games and undercuts Apple's price point of 30% at 20%. Same thing happened with the Google Play Store, where since Epic was now not abiding by the developer rules, they were pulled. So the tweet I have is actually a brief history before everything that happened today, and how Fortnite became Fortnite, and exactly why Apple and Google pulled away from Epic. But I think Epic had planned this out entirely. They not only dropped a parody video of Apple's Think Different when it came to actually the news breaking from being pulled to the apps from the App Store, but also their CEO, Tim Sweeney, put out multiple tweets, multiple statements about why they wanted to pull away from the App Store and exactly what his whole plan was in pulling away from the App Store. And now they're in a legal battle with Apple over exactly what Apple is doing. And I think they're in the right here, is They've made it so that they always get a cut of any developers that are developing to the App Store. So at some aspect, it does make sense. A developer creates a game, puts it on the App Store. Apple is the platform where they're hosting, and so they take 30% of the cut. Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic Games, is basically saying in the lawsuit and in the tweets that 30% is too much just for hosting. Just for hosting an app, and especially for a game like Fortnite that is cross-platform, it should be something a lot lower. Or it should be something where that 30% is not going to Apple, but it's getting dispersed amongst either the developers or other people, whatever it might be, because Apple does not need more money. They don't need the developers to basically not get that 30% cut because Apple is taking it. So if you want to read more about it, feel free to Google it. But that's our second good thing, is Epic Games essentially standing up to what is a $1 trillion company in Apple, and Epic Games being a $1 billion company, and basically saying, hey, we don't think this is right, and we're willing to pull out our most popular game, Fortnite, from the App Store, and here's why. So great, great, good thing coming from the gaming community, and it's only something that time will tell where it goes. Our last good thing is number one on trending on YouTube. It dropped earlier today, almost has 10 million views, just absolutely ridiculous numbers. You probably know where I'm going with this already. That's from a YouTuber who has 40 million plus subscribers, who's always giving away things, and in this one, he actually buys something. That is a video by Mr. Beast. Highly recommend you check it out. It's a 10-minute video. It's part of a series he's doing. And in this one, he actually buys a private island. And then you'll get a better idea of, when you watch the video, what the next part in the series is. And I think this is something that Mr. Beast is going to do fantastically well, and arguably better than the late night shows now, because all the late night shows are getting some numbers, but because they're in quarantine, because there's no live audience, the majority of people are on YouTube, on Netflix, on streaming services, watching content. And for a YouTuber like Mr. Beast, with the giant, giant following that he has, pulling in 10 million views in less than one day is unheard of viewership, and would almost never happen when it comes to something like late night TV or the regular evening programming shows that you see on cable. So Mr. Beast is basically taking what we watch in terms of reality TV or evening primetime programming and saying, why don't I become bigger than these places and do bigger giveaways than any of these people can do on their own? And he's already done it. 40 million subscribers is bigger than almost all the late night talk show YouTube channels combined. Probably has more viewership than all of them combined as well. His videos get tons of views in a very, very short amount of time. And now he's flipping the model of what exactly is reality TV by doing these giveaways that are attached to creative concepts. So shout out to Mr. Beast. Great video. Highly recommend you check it out. And with that, we are going to close out today's podcast. Like I said, if you are one of the three people that are still listening to this, this is not the best podcast, but I do want to do it daily, so that's why I'm recording this one here today. Again, thank you so much for listening to Three Good Things. If you want to reach out to me, feel free to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @ShardulGo. That's ShardulGo. And thank you so much for tuning in to Three Good Things, and I will see you tomorrow.